We're looking at the gifts of the Spirit. We're up to the third one. These are all found in 1 Corinthians 12, so you can read them. Make sure that you know what that list is. And what I want to do first is I want to go back to last week, and I just want to wrap that up just a little bit. If you were with us last week, you know we were having dinner over at the Lemoyne Borough Berlin and had a great time together. And yet I want to make sure that I finish that, because there were a couple of things that I felt like God prompted my heart that I wanted to continue with that, talking about words of wisdom. So if you're listening to this sermon online right now, please make sure that you've listened to the previous week so that you'll be able to have all of this information together. We started off with the word of knowledge, where we talked about the fact that this is information that you have that you could not possibly know, and yet God sees fit to give it to you. And we had a number of examples in the scripture. One of the most notable ones, or the easiest one sometimes, is Joseph. Joseph, when he interpreted the dream for Pharaoh and was able to tell him what that meant. Talk about Elijah and about all of these different men and women through the Bible who were given these words. Then last week we talked about words of wisdom and how that word of wisdom is something that God will give us, that when he gives us knowledge, information, he then provides wisdom to know how to use that knowledge. And so we've talked about how the gifts often fit together and how they're important for one another. But the last thing I wanted to tell you about the word of wisdom to finish this was I wanted to tell you what words of wisdom are not as much as what they are. I did this with words of knowledge, and at least for my mind, it sort of helped a little bit. Many times with these gifts, they're a little bit difficult to understand. Not quite sure, well, so what do you mean here, or how does that fit here? And so I think often it's good to understand what it is not to be able to help you to know what it is. Does that make sense, or did I just confuse myself? I was fine when I started that. I think I can feel, hang on a minute. Oh, okay, I got that now. All right, I'm back. Let me tell you what words of wisdom are not. A word of wisdom is not the wisdom of Solomon that we talked about last week. Remember we talked about that in Kings, how God had come to King Solomon and he said to him, hey, Solomon, what do you need? I want to help you with being king. What is it that I can do for you? What can I give you? How would you like to have that? A blank check from God. I'd take that. That'd be okay with me. I can think of a couple things. I hope I would give an answer as good as what Solomon did. Because what did Solomon say? He said, God, I got this job that you've given me here. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just a kid. So I need wisdom. I need a discerning heart is the way that he said it. Wisdom to know how to do the things that I need to do. And that's wonderful. That's very important. But that's not a word of wisdom. What was the word of wisdom that Solomon got? Dealing with what? Remember? Dealing with the two women who claimed that the one baby belonged to each of them. And God gave him a word of wisdom of how to deal with that situation that immediately revealed the truth. Because that's what words of wisdom do. They reveal truth. But that's not, Solomon's wisdom is not the same as a word of wisdom. There are a lot of wise people who don't have words of wisdom given to them by God. So there's a difference between those two. Say, so, yeah, I'd like to need more about that. Well, if you weren't with us last week, listen to last week. All right, I explained that more in depth. A word of wisdom is also not spiritual insight. Now that's one a little bit tough, but I need you to understand the difference. When you're reading Galatians 5, about the fruits of the Spirit that Paul writes about. How many of you are familiar with fruits of the Spirit in Galatians? Okay, a large number of you. The fruits of the Spirit are those attributes of our life that because we follow Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, there should be a way that we live. There should be ways that we treat one another that are in conjunction with the fact that we've given our life to Jesus. So wisdom can be one of those things, or the ability to be able to look at something in and have an understanding, but that's not always the same thing as a word of wisdom. A word of wisdom, remember, is something that God gives us that we would not naturally have ourselves. But every Christian should desire to have those spiritual insights that Galatians talks about. A word of wisdom is not just for pastors or for elders or for leaders. A word of wisdom is for everybody. I think I told you last week, I would love for anybody to come up to me and to say, Pastor Dave, I got a word of I think I got a word of wisdom for you. I think I have a word of knowledge for you. It's just something God's put in my spirit, and I want to share it with you, and I want to know what you think. That's the way we give gifts to each other. That's the way we present those things. Remember, what's one of the rules of the gift of knowledge or gift of wisdom? What do you never do? What do you never say? God told me. God told me this. Well, how do you know God told you this? I mean, unless there was a physical presence in front of you. And by the way, I ask God for that all the time. Katarina and I pray for that constantly. We always ask for God to take us into his presence so that we can be there, or just to see Jesus, or have an angelic visitation. Now, some of you begin to go, really? Seriously? Yeah, absolutely. Are those things possible? You bet they are. Absolutely. But we've lost our faith and our belief in those things to the point where it almost never happens anymore. Certainly not in this country. Happens a lot around the world. Doesn't happen much in this country. Why? Because we don't have faith for those things. We don't believe in those things anymore. So a word of wisdom is for everybody. And I want to encourage you to ask God for words of wisdom. You go, Pastor Dave, I'm not that wise of a person. That's okay. That's not what we're talking about. Words of wisdom are what God gives us. The last thing then that wisdom is not, it's not just a new idea that pops into your heart or into your head. This is why the gift of discerning of spirits is so important in the church, and that's one of the ones we're going to talk about next. Discerning the spirits, to know if it's something that truly is from God, or if it's maybe just some sort of a strange idea that I have, and you know, I mean well, but this isn't really something from God. How do we know that? Because we ask God to reveal those things to us. Let me tell you what a word of wisdom is against that. It's what God does in order to bring revelation, to bring solution to a situation. It brings an ability to be able to see things that you would not normally see. And there's a couple examples just quickly, and then I'm going to move on to the gift of faith. In Acts, the 27th chapter, is the story of Paul, and he's on a ship. Now, if you saw Paul coming to get on a boat you were on, don't get on it. Because he had a lot of trouble on boats. It seemed like every time that he was going somewhere, they were either being shipwrecked, or they were driving into a storm someplace, or they were having to throw people overboard, or all kinds of strange things. So if a guy comes up and says, "Hi, I'm Paul, I'm going to be riding this ship," I'm out. I'm not getting on that. Just a word. That's my word of wisdom for you. It's probably not a word of wisdom, but Paul's got troubles. He's on a ship, and they're in this massive storm. And the sailors are terrified. And you read in Acts 27 that Paul gets to use two gifts in the same situation. The first thing he uses is a gift of knowledge. Because God tells Paul, tell these guys, nobody's going to die. Just relax. That's a word of knowledge. If you're in a huge storm, something's going on, and you're able to walk up to somebody and say, listen, just relax. You're not going to die. I believe God told me that. That's a word of knowledge. But then God gives him also a word of wisdom, because as you read what takes place, Paul begins to talk to the sailors because they're freaking out. They're going crazy over this because they all think they are going to die. Paul says, first, you're not going to die. But then they have a word of wisdom, and he says, guys, here's what I want you to do. There's a boat that you've got lower down there. It's dragging the boat down. Get rid of that boat, and I want you to eat as much as you can right now because you're going to need your strength. That's wisdom. The word of knowledge was, you're not going to die. It's going to be fine. The word of wisdom was, how are we going to deal with this situation? That's what words of wisdom do. They give you insight in how to deal with a situation to the glory of God. One other one then in Acts, the 15th chapter. James speaks a word of wisdom to the council in Jerusalem. And if you ever read about these types of things, there were all these groups that were meeting, trying to give oversight to the church. And James was given a word of wisdom by God, because what he told that council was, listen, guys, you're all real lovey-dovey with the Jews, but you're keeping the Gentiles out. Jesus said he came to die for everyone. And he said, you need to welcome those Gentiles as a part of what's going on here, and you're going to see the things of God grow. That was a word of wisdom. And so God does this. He pours himself into people who are asking him, church, that's what I want us to do. I just simply want us to make our lives available to God for those things. Because when we do that, we begin to see things change in our lives. We begin to see hearts that are broken be healed. Can you imagine being led to somebody and just being able to speak something over them that would break something that's held their hearts for so long? Something there's no way you could have known what it was. And yet God pours that knowledge into you. Why? Because you're available. Because you want to be a part of that. That's what each of us should desire here. So the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, what is it the situation is, and then how to deal with it. And this morning I want to just share with you, and I may have to split this one up too, may have to finish this one next week too, is the gift of faith, supernatural faith. Now, one of the things I noticed as I was studying about this, I think I told you last week that the wisdom word in the Bible is actually two separate words. There's the word that Solomon talked about, which was chacham. Go ahead, spell that one. Write that one down, Karen. Go ahead. Chacham. Okay, just spit on the paper. That's probably the first part of that. But the word chacham means to have natural knowledge. I know Joe shaking his head going, seriously, you just said spit on the paper. That's it. But the other word, though, not the wisdom of natural, the chacham, but Sophia. Remember that word? That is supernatural wisdom given by God. Well, the word faith in the scripture is the exact same word all the way through. It's the word pistis, is the natural, the original language, P-I-S-T-I-S, pistis. And we see that used throughout all of the scripture whenever it talks about faith, although that word itself has multiple meanings this morning. The first thing about we want to know is what is faith? Well, the Bible actually tells us what faith is. In Hebrews 11:1, it says, faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we cannot see. That's what faith is. The assurance of what we hope for and the confidence in the things we cannot see. Now, we don't live in a very faith-filled culture today, do we? I don't think. Because if it's not something you can grab onto, if it's not something that you can put your eyes on, and especially if it's not something that fits into the container of our understanding, then we pretty much just dismiss it. Who was the Bible's poster child of no faith? Who was that? Thomas was. Remember? Tom's one of the original 12. He's been with Jesus all this time, and he's not in the room when Jesus comes the first time. I knew I shouldn't have gone to the store. I knew I was going to miss this. And he comes back, and the guys say, Tom, he was here. He walked with us. He was right in the room. And what did Thomas say? My God, I knew that he would come. I knew that that death would not keep him. That's not what Thomas said. Thomas said, you know what, guys? I appreciate what you're telling me, but until I can put my fingers in that hole in his hand, until I can see that gash in his side where the soldier stabbed him to make sure that he was dead, I'm not going to believe. Thomas was challenged with his faith. Now, he came around. What did it take for him to come around? What it always is, it's an encounter with Jesus. An encounter with Jesus will always bring you around, will always make an impact in your life. In Romans 12:3, then, Paul writes and he tells us that God distributes faith to each and every one of us. So this morning, I can tell you this. Every single one of you have faith as a part of your life. You all have it. Guaranteed. The question is, what measure of faith do you want to operate in? How do you want to use that faith? Is it possible to abuse your faith that you have? And you may be a little bit surprised to think, I believe, yes, you can abuse your faith. There's a teaching that's been around for a number of years, and it's been called a number of different things. And the problem with this teaching is that there's a foundational element of it that's exactly right, but it focuses on the wrong thing. It's been called prosperity preaching. It's been called name it and claim it. Those are the two things that you most often hear about this type of teaching. And it talks about faith. It talks about faith that if you say it's going to happen, it is going to happen. Now, that in and of itself is wonderful. That is the kind of faith that is the gift of faith. The problem is that it focuses on things that aren't necessarily what God may want for us. Because everything that we ask God for, church, and now catch this, it has to be about subjecting yourself to the will of God for your life. No matter what it is that you're praying for, your faith remains resolute. I believe that God is going to answer this prayer, but how he answers it is up to him. It's still answered. I still have faith in what God's going to do, but I trust him. The other problem with some of that teaching is it tends to focus just on material things. And the only true demonstration of whether your prayer has been answered or not is if you're driving a BMW. Folks, material wealth has nothing to do with spiritual maturity. Nothing. Nothing. Because if that were true, then some of the greatest spiritual leaders of history, including many of those in the scripture, were actually not very good spiritual leaders because they didn't have a whole lot. I don't buy that. But we get ourselves pulled into these things of believing that unless it happens the way I want it to, then the prayer was not answered. Can I encourage you folks to know that God has a plan for when you pray? God will answer your prayer in accordance with his will. What our responsibility is to come to that place of saying, God, whatever you want, that's what I want. That's what I want. It may not be what I think is going to be the best. That's okay. I've told you this. I have prayed for things in my life that I look back later and went, thank you, Jesus, you didn't give me that. That would have been horrible. Anybody else? Horrible if I'd gotten that. God knew better. God knew better. But our faith is what it is that we hold to in our lives with him. There are a couple of different types of faith. And with this, I'll quit, and I'll have to come back and finish this next week. There is salvation faith. There is faith that each and every one of us demonstrate, that if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you demonstrated faith to know that the promise that he gave us, that if we surrender our lives to him, that we will spend eternity with him. That's faith. That's faith. Just as Hebrews 11:1 tells us. Why? Because you don't have any real tangible thing to hold on to. It's not like you get a membership card to go, look, I'm going to heaven. There's my card. Going to heaven. You don't get a card. A lot of times you don't even get things changing a great deal in your life for the good. Sometimes you need to deal with things for a while, and yet God's love is still there. You're still going to spend eternity with him. Salvation faith is that thing that we hold to that says, Father, because you said this, I believe it to be true. I believe it. I hold to that. Even though the things in my life may be difficult, even though there may be things going on right now that I don't completely understand, and I even have some questions and maybe some doubts in my mind, but my faith is holding to the fact that I know that when I surrendered my life to him, that he saved me. And that I'm going to spend eternity with him. That's the faith of salvation. There's also the faith that Hebrews 11 again talks about. It's the faith to know that even if I can't see something, I'm believing again what God's word says. I believe what his word says. Folks, I've shared this with you before. I'm a man of very simple faith. I don't know if that makes me simple-minded or not. I feel simple-minded sometimes. But a simple faith just simply means this. At least this is what I read the scripture to say. If this is what's in the word, I believe it. I believe it. It's that simple. We overcomplicate things so much in our lives. Why? Because our intellect wants to get involved with this to say, wait a minute, well, what about this? What about this? What about that? And men and women have been studying the scriptures for hundreds and hundreds, thousands of years. And it still always comes back to the exact same thing. God is who he says he is. He sent his son to die for us so that we could spend eternity with him. And if we are willing to surrender our lives to him, he will point the way. He'll help us in those circumstances. Doesn't mean everything gets cleaned. It doesn't mean that he's the bridge over troubled waters. Most of the time, actually, he's the bridge through the troubled waters, because it doesn't mean you get to escape the storm, but he's always going to be right there for you. My friends, as we talk about faith, and as we look at what that means to have a supernatural faith, can I encourage you this morning that all you need to start with, the Bible says, is faith as big as a what? What's the analogy? A mustard seed. You know how big that is? You almost can't see it. It's so tiny. And yet, let me read you something that Billy Graham said, and with this, I'll close. Graham said, faith is the avenue of salvation. We know that to be true. It's not intellectual understanding. It's not money. It's not your works. It's just simple faith. How much faith? the faith of a mustard seed, so small you can hardly see it. But now watch this. If you will put that little faith in the person of Jesus Christ, your life will be changed. He will come with supernatural power into your heart. It can happen to you. Billy Graham has to say something like that, because as we look at a man like that, we think, well, of course it can happen to you. You're Billy Graham. You're Billy Graham, of course. He says, no, it has nothing to do with who I am. It has nothing to do with who anybody is. It has to do with who God is, who the person of Jesus Christ is in our lives. That when we take that little faith that we have and we put that with the power of Almighty God, the supernatural becomes a part of our lives to His glory and to His honor. Next week, I want to share with you then what it is that supernatural faith is. There's faith of salvation. There's faith of believing the things that the Word tells me are true. And then even beyond all of that, there is a supernatural faith that a man like Noah had to demonstrate when God told him to build an ark in a place that had less than 3 inches of annual rainfall per year. Did that make sense to anybody? It took him at least 50, maybe as long as 80 years to build this ark. That's faith. That's faith. Because you got to know all of his neighbors are all being kind and supportive, right? Probably not. And yet he held that faith to say, you know what? God told me this is going to happen, and I'm going to be a part of it to his glory. Amen. Well, Heavenly Father, I thank you, God, for your word this morning. I thank you that you have given each and every one of us faith. We all have faith. And yet, Father, we are asking this morning for more faith. Faith that is not contained by my intellect. It's not contained by the things that I can see. It's not contained by the things, God, that everybody else says is right. But it is a faith that says, your word says it, so I believe it. You put it on my heart, so I'm going to act on it. It's a faith, Father, that no matter what goes on around me, it does not shake the fact that I know that you are present and that you love me. Father, I thank you for that faith for each and every one of us this morning, and I pray that it would continue to increase, that it would continue to grow. And as we ask God about these gifts, I pray, Father, that our hearts would be open to receive whatever it is that you have in store for us. And Father, as we leave this place this week, I pray, God, you go before us. May we be a light in every place that we go. May we, God, be able to show your love to people that aren't very loving. Show mercy to those that don't give us mercy. And more than anything, Father, may we show people that because of your presence in my life, that I am more than a conqueror. I'm an overcomer because of you. Bless each and every family here, Father. Go with us as we go, and as we come back next week, Lord, we look forward to being in your presence together. We ask all of these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And everybody said with me, amen.